Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This familiar gospel text might be called Two Angry Men and a Party. And it is kind of interesting to see how both of the sons, although they react in some things very differently, they both have kind of the same mindset. And that mindset is the one that says, there's barely enough for me. I want what's mine. I want it now. Because maybe he doesn't know what's going to happen to him in his future. I want it now. I want to go do what I want to do. And I don't want to worry about everybody else. And then there's the elder son who says, I never get anything. I don't get what I deserve. And in that we see this scarcity mentality that shows up in both of the brothers. Now, scarcity, we've all dealt with what that's like, and some of us have felt it firsthand. Many of us, there are a few of us now around who lived through the Depression, but a lot of us grew up with folks who did and learned our habits from those folks who lived through very difficult times and very big challenges. And how many of you have a little collection of rubber bands somewhere in the house? How many of you have twist? These are harder to find. How you collected the little twist ties, right? Because why would you throw a perfectly good twist tie away? You know, anybody wash their Ziploc bags? Okay, all of that. Now today we can say that's environmentally friendly, right? But a lot of us learned those habits because we were taught not to waste. We were supposed to care about stuff, and we heard that message, finish your peas because children are starving in Europe, which never made sense to me. Like, how is that going to make life better for the kid in Europe if I ate my peas? But I just shoveled them in and went along. All of that sense of being taught that there isn't enough, for many of us, we've just kind of grown up with that's what it is. That's how life is. And so we approach it that way. And to an extent, right, that's just plain prudent. That's not wasting things. And it is in a time when we look to say, you know what, we need to be careful about our environment. So we do need to be conscious of what there is no throwing away, right? There is no away. We just move it from someplace we can see it to someplace we can't see it. So there is this sense of it's important to be good stewards. Absolutely, that's true. But there's a difference between stewarding well and holding on so tightly that your knuckles get white. I don't know about you. Have you ever had the wind knocked out of you? Yeah, it's a terrible feeling, especially the first time if you don't know what's coming, and you get the wind knocked out of you, and you think, I'll never get another breath. I'm not going to be able to inhale ever again, and it's very easy to panic. My mom had COPD, and that was one of the things that was always so difficult for her, is knowing that she couldn't get quite enough air and always being worried about that next breath. And becoming connected to that oxygen tank or the thing that turned over, that remade it, that became just incredibly important because there really was for her a scarcity. Sometimes, though, we see things as being scarce when they aren't really so scarce. I served a congregation in southern Minnesota, which shall remain nameless, although I love them dearly. We had this, it was a big congregation. We had two services with a coffee hour in between. Sunday school happened during worship. I know, I don't like it either, but that's how we did it. And so at the end of Sunday school, the kids would come running out to go to the coffee hour. Now, we had a coffee hour that was just ridiculous. We started out with coffee and a donut. Somebody said, well, maybe we should have something besides donuts if people don't want sweet stuff. So then the crackers and the cheese showed up. So what if we need... And pretty soon we had... It was like a mini buffet. It was like Golden Corral every Sunday morning. And the kids would show up if they could get out of Sunday school before the folks did worship. They'd go and they'd grab those cookies and take a handful and run to the back of the fellowship hall to hang out and eat them. And so the cookie ladies came to me. You know the cookie ladies. I'm sure there aren't any cookie ladies here. But some churches have cookie ladies. And they came to me and they said, "Pastor, the children are eating the cookies." I said, "So?" "Dan, the children are eating the cookies. What are you going to do about it?" "Buy more cookies?" "You don't understand." And I said, I'm like, we need a cookie czar. "Really? We need someone to watch those cookies so the children don't eat them." And I said, "You know, a lot of those kids that come in early, they are the drive-through parents, you know? They never get out of the car. The kids run in to go to Sunday school, come back out." And so I said, "Look, they're already going to leave, and here we're trying to get rid of them sooner. Like, why would we do that? Isn't it great that they want to grab a couple cookies and hang out with their friends and have some community? And isn't that what we're trying to do with our youth, is to build this community?" And they didn't. This is like, "You just don't understand." I said, "You're right. I don't understand. We need somebody to monitor those cookies. My cookies are." And I'm like, all right. So I thought, what am I going to do? So I went to one of our members, a lovely woman named Ramona, who was a retired teacher. So she knew kids really well, master teacher. And she also knew the cookie ladies because she'd been in this congregation for 25 years. And I said, "Ramona, the cookie ladies." And she said, "Oh, I know." So I said, "Okay, here's what I need. Could you please just be like the..." She's a grandma and a master teacher. "Could you just come and be at the table and welcome the kids in a good grandma teacher, loving teacher way, and just remind them that if they should take 2 cookies instead of 10?" And she's like, "Aye." And I said, "That will go a long way with the cookie ladies for me." And she's like, "I got you covered." And she took care of it. And it was striking to me about this sense of just afraid that we were going to not have enough cookies if we were generous. And I wonder how often the church is like that. I just wonder how often the church is like that, that we hold on to things so tight because we're afraid that there won't be enough. And I wonder if we are so afraid of that that we miss all kinds of opportunities. That's what I think happens in the story of the prodigal son. I think both of those sons miss the opportunity that's in front of them because they're so worried about holding on to what is theirs. One gets it and goes away and then realizes that it wasn't all that much anyway, and now it's gone and they aren't he wasn't any happier than he was before. And the other one is complaining because he feels like he's never had all the things that he ought to have. But they both, neither one of them, see the opportunity that they have in that family to be a sons and a loving father. And the older son, because he doesn't see the father run down the road to meet the son. I mean, that picture in itself, without diving too deeply into this text this morning, that picture in itself is stunning for the ancient world. Adults didn't run. They just didn't. And a grown man would never raise his robe to show his ankles in order to do that running down the road. So when it says he runs down the road to meet his son, it's not like, you know, just, "Oh, hey, it's nice to see you." This is breaking every cultural rule he can come up with to go be with his son. He is throwing caution to the winds, and then he is able to welcome his son back again. When we look at things through that window of scarcity, we don't get to see the gracious Father. When we look at the things through the window of scarcity, we don't get to see the opportunity that God has placed in front of us. As you all begin this campaign, you begin the process of... And I know you're already doing this, but this will be different, and it will be focused, and it will be pointed for the next 6 weeks, that you look to see what God is up to among you. You look to see where God is leading you. And what's important about about moving forward as a congregation. Now, sometimes you say, "Oh, yeah, I know," but you know, but some of the things we're going to do are not so exciting. And how do they affect ministry? But if you kind of reflect on it for a minute, every project that we're undertaking here to make this space a better space, it makes it more welcoming, it makes it more hospitable, it invites people in, it makes people want to be here instead of saying, "Man, I'm not going to that church, the air conditioning is terrible, I'm not going in there." Like, that's real. And when we make sure that the windows are fire code correct, and so people aren't in danger when they're in the building, like, that's real. And when we rebuild the fence and get the landscaping there so the water collects the way it's supposed to, and like, that again helps to steward our relationship with our neighbors and to be ecologically minded. Like, all of those things that are laid out as the projects for this campaign are things that look forward with hope and are undergirded by the blessings God has already given this place and that we know will give them in the future. Oftentimes going along with scarcity is fear. And the thing that Jesus says probably, two of the messages, not necessarily, not only from Jesus, but in all of Scripture, two of the most important messages and most frequent messages are fear not and do not be afraid. These are the messages that God gives to God's people all the way through Scripture. So as you undertake this campaign, this starting today, and you begin to reflect for the next 6 weeks on what your gift to this campaign will be over 3 years, please begin to imagine what God is up to. Reflect on and ask and pray about, what's God doing in this place? How do we do ministry to, with, for, around, and in the middle of our community? Because we're placed right here. And because people can see us from all the way down Paseo. Reflect on those things. Gather that together. And then hear this story of this gracious Father who is our God, this gracious God who receives us in love and in mercy and in hope for a future, and celebrates who we are and who God has created us to be. Let's go forth in this together. Amen.